Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost a million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nurse are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watson Keith. I'm here with my boy, Jazz. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds! It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka the Jazz of the Narrow Sea.
Jazz of Narrow Sea. I was hoping for Jazz Snake, but okay, I'll take Jazz of the Narrow Sea.
We're going Jazz of the Narrow Sea.
Or the best one, the White Jazz.
The White Jazz. Oh man, I don't ruin it. I gotta save some for later. All right. Listen, Jazz, I gotta introduce our guest, man. So this is one of my most exciting parts because I am so excited to introduce this guest. I'm gonna do a little fanfare, right? Ready?
Oh god. Ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Salam Nurse proudly presents to you our guest this week, Cat Lady JJ.
Oh my god, thank you guys so much.
Oh man. My god,
thank you for having me.
No, but thank you for coming on, Jazz. So I met Cat Lady JJ on somebody else's podcast. I believe it was The Keeg, right?
Keeg, it was Dimitri's, yeah.
Dimitri, man, he's a friend of the show, super cool. Mm-hmm. I think what were we talking about? Star Wars? Was it Star Wars or Miss Marvel?
It had to be Star Wars.
Then he like segues into Marvel, into pop culture, and yeah.
It could be anything, but yeah. JJ is so knowledgeable in Star Wars, in House of the Dragon, everything. And I was so excited to have, because I don't think there's anybody who knows Game of Thrones more that I know than her. And we're going to get schooled today, and I'm so excited. I'm here to learn. We're going to learn today. JJ, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Look, my name is JJ. I make content on TikTok mostly, but you can find me on Twitter and Instagram under Cat Lady JJ and Cat Lady JJ 37 on Instagram. I like talking about nerd stuff, pop culture, anything that's fun and exciting. I like lore talk of any sort. I like listening to lore. That's my thing. So yeah.
that's awesome. How do you get the name Cat Lady JJ? Tell us about that.
It was a dumb thing. Not dumb. I have three cats. I'm a huge cat person. So when I joined TikTok during pandemic, it was just a random nickname I picked. JJ is my real nickname. So it was like a combination. And at that time, I was only a spectator. I did not expect to make videos. And then you know how it goes.
Yeah, TikTok just drags you in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like you make a TikTok during the pandemic, ironically, and then you're like, oh, this is some cool stuff in here. And then you're like, let me make some stuff. And then before you know it, you have tons of followers.
I don't know what happened. I made a couple of Star Wars videos and I was like, what the hell is happening? And then it became fun and then it wasn't fun. When it gets kind of crazy with the fandoms, it's just...
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You're always fighting the fragile fanboys. I see you.
Until they got me permabanned in May when they mass reported me. Yeah.
Yeah, Jazz. They got her banned. I sent like an email to TikTok to try to.
I appreciate your help so much.
I was like, free my girl, yo.
It's crazy. Wow. Like they can talk all Can you guys curse on here? Like shit?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You
okay.
Yeah.
And they can talk shit to you, but you can't respond back. Then you're being abusive. But you can get kinds of disgusting, racist, misogynistic comments, but you cannot troll back. It's
so strange. Weird. I just had that like a day ago where somebody was making fun of She-Hulk, where they literally made a video telling somebody to shut up. And
saw
like,
that one.
Right? And I'm like, listen, first of all, I don't even think that account's real. So I was like basically mocking that account. People were like, well, you're no better than he is. And I'm like,
wait a minute.
I'm like, it's so weird. Like, they want to police us standing up for ourselves and standing up for others. But, like, the misogyny they're okay with. The racism they're okay with.
I've seen some vile, vile comments, and they stay up. And when you reply to them, even if you hide their username, usually I just take a snapshot and I hide the person's name. Doxing is not my thing. It still reports you. Like, I don't get it. But
yeah. No, it's definitely one of those things that's weird. And like, listen, I never said I take the high road. I am petty I'm not here to take the high road. And turn the other cheek, man. I'll show you both my cheeks. I don't care.
Nice.
Everybody else can take the high road. There's more room for me on the low road.
That's right.
We don't pull punches here. We do not pull punches.
Nope.
We will say some really, you know, edgy things just to get a point across.
Always keep it petty.
Oh yeah, man, I'm petty as fuck. All right.
You have to be.
Speaking of petty, how about our boy Damon, who basically did a suicide attempt at a war just so the king doesn't send in shift and take the glory. He's like petty as fuck.
Damon is chaos in human flesh.
I have not read the books. I do not know anything that's going to happen.
Okay.
But I love me some Matt Smith, and I'm going to support his rights and I'm going to support his wrongs. I don't care what happens.
I ride hard for Matt Smith. I am so happy he's getting his flowers. I think he's highly underrated. And he's getting his flowers finally. Although he's on The Crown and he gets a lot of praise there. But this is his thing right now.
Yeah,
and like Doctor Who, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. No, Daemon Targaryen is one of those, like, Doctor Who, Doctor Who is amazing, right? And it's like, but it's like only Whovians know the talent that is Matt Smith, right? And then right? And then The Crown is also like kind of niche. Like a lot of people watch it, but it's still this like show on Netflix that people heard of, but no one's literally watched. But this show, this is gonna like, and like after Morbius, like he deserves.
Oh, right, Morbius.
I forgot he was in Morbius.
Oh my God, me too.
What? You forgot that dance scene?
That dance. That is Morbius. You're right. That wasn't like a random fever dream. Oh my God. Oh my God.
How did the internet not have a problem with his dancing, but they have a problem with She-Hulk twerking? I don't understand that.
You know what? And with Peter Quill, Zemo. Who else is dancing in Marvel cinema? Oh, Carrie's here. Yay. I'm sorry.
Oh, look at that. Got some friends in the comment section. We're excited.
That is my friend. Yes. I love her.
All right. So let's get into it, man. Let's get into the show. So we start off the show with Blackwood of the First Man. That's pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about that. That sounds interesting. So he is one of like the First Man, which reminds me of the story between the children, right? And how the White Walkers came about. So tell us a little bit about his history, a little bit.
Are we only doing the last episode or just like all four?
So yeah.
All four.
Yeah, we can talk about all four. We can't talk about any spoilers from the books that are happening.
No. I will be very careful.
We can talk about spoilers that happened in Game of Thrones because we already knew about that.
Right.
So all four episodes plus Game of Thrones is a go. You're allowed to do it.
Okay, gotcha. Well, basically, just this show is putting sort of Starks and Lannisters that we've met on previous TV shows sort of on a back burner for now. They will play a role eventually, but now you mostly have Targaryens, Valyrians, and Hightowers. Those are your main three focus houses right now. Blackwoods are just an ancient house, one of the oldest in the kingdom. They stem back from like the Age of Heroes, just like thousands of years ago, when the first men, Andals, came into Westeros to basically colonize it. So that's when they stem from a long time ago. They do have an interesting history and a lot of interesting characters that I want to mention, but I don't want to spoil future events of House of the Dragon. So this was definitely an Easter egg, Blackwood House. basically having a conflict with Brackens.
Yeah, they got
They got major beef. Yeah, they always kind of fought in the Riverlands for those territories. But it's an Easter egg for something else that happens in the future, too.
So they got that, like, East Coast, West Coast 90s hip-hop beef, right?
Something like that, yeah. They do not get along. I always joke that if a Bracken has a sword, Blackwood is meant to kill it.
Oh, man. But, yeah. Shout out to the little homie, man, killing the big guy. It's a big size advantage, and we saw him kill him.
That was very, very interesting choice. I was like, when I heard Blackwood, I was like, oh. And then initially, because it was from the distance, I didn't see the sigil from up close. I thought it was maybe one of the Baratheons, because there's a second Baratheon in the show besides Rogar. Boryman. I'm sorry, I'm confused by Baratheons. I was like, and then I looked up close. I'm like, oh no, that's House Bracken. And then two of them conflict. I'm like, oh, Easter egg for something else.
Love that.
But I don't know if that part is going to be covered on the show. Maybe I can talk about it, but I don't want to risk it.
Well, you can talk about that. You can talk about that because
it takes about 100 years after the events of this episode. It's basically the Blackfyre Rebellion. You guys have met Bloodraven on the Game of Thrones show, so that's not a spoiler. He's a Blackwood. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He's half Blackwood, half Targaryen.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he famously has a bitter rivalry with his half brother, Bittersteel, Aeron Rivers, who is basically their father. A bunch of mistresses, and he was with Ali, I can't remember one of the nine mistresses. Blackwood. They had a son, Bittersteel, and then he sets her aside to take Melissa Blackwood, and he has a son, Bloodraven, Brendan Rivers. You met him, and two of them fall in love with their half sister, and that causes a lot of conflict.
Very Targaryen. Yeah.
Targaryen.
Well, speaking of half sisters, I guess it's time to move on to the incest portion.
Jump right into it, right?
I just want to put that out. Incest is part of their tradition for like thousands of years. This isn't like a new thing. They've been practicing it for thousands of years. It's just part of their culture. And if people are uncomfortable watching that on TV, the show's not for them. That's all I can say to that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Not for me. I'm good.
Not in real life.
Not my cup of tea either.
We're all good. We're all like, nope, not us. But if you're into that, we don't judge here.
You just have to accept it on the show for this specific family. And then that's it.
For this particular fiction family, we don't judge.
That's it.
Outside of that, we judge.
Without
it, I have to go through. I'll be like, okay, wait.
The mental gymnastics.
But here, it's okay. But it's bad. But I need to see this more now.
Ironically, it's not even good in their world.
It's not. Right. No,
it's not. Like the religion of seven frowns really, really upon it. Basically, Targaryens. Jaehaerys, you've met King Jaehaerys in the first episode, he created what it's called a rule of exceptionalism. Basically, we're not like you. We're not real people. We are closer to gods because of dragons. So it's like, my sister, you can't. So now they convinced all these septons, which are kind of like priests equivalents, to go around Westeros to spread this propaganda that Targaryens are exceptional.
Wow.
So this is one of my favorite conversations. So one of the septons runs into a bunch of villagers to spread this propaganda how Targaryens can marry their sisters, but you can't. He's like, why can't I go fuck my sister? And the septon goes, go to the dragon pit and go ride a dragon. If you do it, you can fuck your sister. Just a simple reiteration of that conversation. Died when I read it. I'm like, if you go ride a dragon, if it doesn't kill you, you can screw your sister.
Oh man, but listen, Daemon, our homie, our king of the narrows, our champion, he tries to get it in with his niece, but homie can't do it. He can't do it. He's got a little bit of trouble downstairs, a little impotence issue.
It's not impotence.
No.
I think there's part of it. I think Miguel Sapochnik, the showrunner, he mentioned that he sort of shut down the moment his niece took control of the situation.
Right, exactly.
Which is unusual for somebody like him, who's always like sort of in control of everything, especially regards to like women in his life. So for Rhaenyra to be assertive, it was sort of like, what's going on. And then he said that he might have also felt bad. It's a multitude of different reasoning to what's going on with Damon. Yeah. He's not a simple character. People cannot put him in one box. So that's so fascinating about him.
This comment is really funny. How many guys do you think in the world tried to ride a dragon?
You know what, Pat? I couldn't tell you. I just know I wouldn't.
I'm judging your friend now.
Listen, I would love to ride a dragon, but if that's the consolation prize, I would rather not.
You will be barbecued.
Green, I'm judging you.
Look, riding a dragon seems cool. Hooking up with your sister does cool. not.
No, it's not. I just love that story so much, telling that story, because it's so funny to me.
Yeah. But back to him not getting
Daemon,
up.
Like, yeah.
We also see him have issues performing when he was Misera in the first episode, right? So he has a little bit of a pattern with that. So that's like two times where he's having a little bit of issue. Then they don't make Dragon Viagra, apparently. They have Dragon Plan B, but not Dragon Viagra.
They do have Dragon Plan B, that goddamn tea. Quite literally, the tea of the whole show.
You know what? Like, the fact that their abortion is accessible in Westeros and not in Texas, it's kind of funny. But only to rich people, as the resident
Texan here. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. 100%. I agree.
You're not wrong. But
it's in the text, at least, keep in mind, Fire and Blood is written from a perspective of like three people, like hundreds of years later. So they're collecting testimonies from different accounts. So whatever they write is going to be probably rooted in a lot of bias. And there's not a lot of dialogue. There's no POVs. You're not getting a point of view like you do with these books here. So you don't get a lot of things on Daemon. Is he impotent in the book? Right. I don't know. Apparently he might be, but he may not be. It could just be a level of control. The fact that his brother is setting him aside, Emma dying, Rhaenyra being named, like a lot of things going on. He seems to be distracted. That's why he might not be performing. And then the whole thing with Rhaenyra was very new to him. Mm-hmm. So I think there's just a lot going on overall with him in here that affects.
Yeah.
My thing with it is, I think he has to be in control to get up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a sadness or anything. It's not that, you know, he wouldn't. It's like, once he lost him being in control, it's like, nope, I don't want it anymore.
Right.
Like, it's some very sociopathic shit.
Oh yeah, no, he's an absolute sociopath. I always say that. But I also took it, and again, I took it from the conversation with the showrunner. I think it was Ryan Condal or Miguel Sapochnik, that he might have, in some respect, realized that what he was doing was wrong, too. So two things happening: a lot of control, and this isn't the way this needs to happen. Because he may or may not have actual feelings for Rhaenyra. You never know, and that's the problem. You're always like picking up pieces here and there of dialogue, of his actions, and it's just, you don't know. And that's what I love about this story, because you just cannot put these characters in boxes. You're not rooting for anybody, but they're fascinating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's really true. Because our homegirl, Rhaenyra, like, she went Girls Gone Wild in this episode.
Oh, I think it was Rin in one of our discussions. She's like, Rhaenyra's having a hot girl summer.
She
went a little crazy.
The royal thought.
I love that. Oh, that's so great.
And isn't that exactly what Viserys called her? Like,
basically, yeah.
Oh man, it's really funny. But
it's just a rebellious stage that she's in. Sort of. That's why she finds Daemon so fascinating, because he's a man, he can do whatever hell he wants, but she can't. So.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because like when we go to see her and she takes these passageways, which, by the way, like, damn, Daemon knows all these like passageways and stuff, which is like really, really cool. But when she goes out, she's dressed like a little boy, and she goes and see a play, which is very similar to what happened to Arya, right?
In Game of Thrones. Yeah, in the Braavos, when she's in the Free Cities. So that play, again, that's not in the text, for example. We know that Daemon took her out on like an adventure trip, but nowhere in this detail that we got on the show. So there's a lot of foreshadowing in that play, and something else that I don't want to spoil, because it will spoil the show for you. So a lot of foreshadowing.
Jazz, what do you think about our homegirl Rhaenyra?
Like on the date or?
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna call that?
I mean, for lack of another word, what was it like?
Listen, date is like going to get ice cream later, not going to a brothel later. It's dinner and a play, not like dinner and a sleigh.
Hey, man. I think we have gone on different dates in our lives, okay?
I love this so much. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I thought it was really cute how they were holding hands right after they saw the Kingsguard. Yeah. Just walking together, holding hands. It's so
By
cute.
The way, you have to remember that Kingsguard. Just remember his face.
Yeah, he's somebody famous. He's one of the guards that was looking at her when she brought back that boar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice catch. That was Harwin Strong. He's the son of Lionel Strong, who is Viserys' master of laws. The one that actually gives him semi-decent advice in terms of political maneuvering versus Otto Hightower. So...
Interesting. Okay, cool.
So yeah, that's his son, and he's gonna have an important role to play. Very important role to play.
Okay.
It's happening very soon, actually. I believe maybe the next episode.
I hope so. Actually, there's one more episode with Millie Alcock.
Then maybe.
Yes.
And then we lose her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's gone.
We're gonna make a more grown-up version of her.
They're going to Emma Darcy, I think they're jumping at least 10 years, I'm gonna say. I would say 10 years. Ahead. Okay. So yeah, these time jumps have been a little bit jarring for people, which I see what they're doing. This war is very short when it starts against the dragons. It's only like 2-3 years and max. Everything happens so fast. So now I kind of wish they spent the season one with just Millie Alcock to really build her character, because once you meet older Rhaenyra, it's going to be a different person. So
yeah, I'm hoping.
Same with Alison Hightower.
I'm hoping for a situation where like people love her so much they find an excuse to bring her back, or more flashbacks or something.
You know what? You just said that, and I saw an article saying Millie Alcock mentioned that there could be a potential of her and Emily Carey, that plays young Alison Hightower, that they could do potential flashbacks in season 2 or 3. So
ooh,
it's
good. Yeah, good. They're so good. She's so good, man.
Unknown. I think she was like doing laundry and like working at a laundromat when she got a call. Play Rhaenyra.
What? That's wild.
Crazy.
That's wild. Well, that's okay. Cool. So let's talk about her and her scene with our boy band knight, Kristen Cole.
Oh, boy. I have to tread that one lightly because I don't want to make any spoilers. Yeah, he's her shield and protector right now. In the book, she crushes on him a lot. He's good looking. He's protector. You know, he's just a cool dude. So, yeah, they definitely have a vibe, for sure. And especially after the last episode, the way he was kind of hanging out with her in the woods, talking to her, being supportive, saving her from the wild boar. It was, so they definitely have a connection.
No, for sure. I really did like the connection, but, like, she was really good at taking off all his armor, man. How'd she know how to do that?
Bro, she got the idea from the brothel.
Yes,
she was exactly. Looking. She was like, I see what you're doing. I'm gonna do this later on tonight. Like, she was getting ideas the whole time she was there.
Okay, it was very symbolic, like especially the white cloak. Take that off, because that what he did was treason. He can lose his head for it. So, the way they slowed it down to sort of almost taking his vow off. So yeah, I interpret that scene. It was very sensual. So.
Okay, we gotta stop this for this comment right here, because this comment just won tonight.
Oh, Pat! Oh my God!
He said, "Okay, Saint Pat says, well, that armor is now tainted after that one night stand." Oh, dad joke of the day.
Pat has been on a roll. Like, check out this comment here. I don't want to think about this.
Can we talk about High Viserys? I must smell from his wounds. Oh, God.
He's quite literally a corpse at this point.
He's rotting away. That disease is just...
Yo, I feel bad for Allison having to be under him while he's like...
Yeah, he did.
Oh, that's so gross.
These guys, oh, my God. The chat is insane. I love it.
The crew is like, the throne told Viserys rotten hell. Literally.
That's the thing, right? Like, the throne knows, like, who should be on it or not, right?
Yeah, the Game of Thrones show on HBO didn't go into any of the lore. They covered the bare minimum of these books. There's a lot of history behind that throne. The story is, and the legend is, the Beleriand, the Black Dread, welded it with his fire. And dragons are magical. Their fire is magical. So apparently, if the throne deems you unworthy, it'll cut you, poke you, all that. Yeah. So a king, Mad King Aerys, you guys seen him on the show.
Yeah.
He was called King Scab because the throne cut him so much. And but people sometimes take that very literally. Like, I would get like so many comments, why didn't cut Robert Baratheon? Why didn't it cut Joffrey? I'm like, there is a part in, I think, Clash where it does nick Joffrey a little bit. He gets upset and the throne sort of nicks him somewhere. Like, George will throw those little tiny little tidbits. You will miss them as you read, but then you'll sort of pick up on all of these nuances later on because you have to reread these books 50 times to get everything.
Easily.
All I'm saying is it never nicked Matt Smith. It never nicked him.
It did not.
No, but you know who almost did nick him? King Viserys. Oh, my God. When he showed up dressed in all black, I was like, oh, fuck, he's going to kill him today. The only reason you dress in all black like that is because you don't want blood ruining your, like, nicer
body. No, yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, he wore all black for a reason. He was ready to kill his brother there. And then he didn't, and I'm like, oh my God, why?
They actually love each other. I know it doesn't seem that way, but they do. Care. They really do care for each other, except Daemon is chaos, and he just cannot contain it.
Yeah. He even said, like, mother loved you more, and he's giving him a hug, and they're having all these, like, reminiscences. And then, like, a few scenes later, he's like, you sullied my daughter.
And the way he said, like, it's your niece. I'm like, dude, your mom and your dad are brother and sister. What are you talking about?
what about Matt's, like, freaking reply, right? He's like, nobody would wed her. Like, wed her to me. I will have her. Right? I'm like, yo.
But the way he said it, too, it really ties into the whole Targaryen dynasty strengthening itself. Because Viserys is such a weak king, or kind of pathetic, it's the reason why things are going to unfold the way they unfold. Matt Smith's character, Daemon, it's almost like he's trying to consolidate that power and really, really strengthen the Targaryen dynasty. And he can only do that with Rhaenyra being so close to the throne, being related to him, being a dragon rider, being a dragon hatcher, you know, things like that. So there's multiple levels of his ambition. And some of it may involve some feelings. Like, I can't say that he doesn't love her. I don't know.
Oh, he for sure loves her. I mean,
I think he loves her in his own way.
Oh, yeah.
Rhaenyra loves him too. Like, she had the necklace.
Oh, she loves
him. Even after all these years. And they haven't seen each other in what, six
One
years
time.
Now?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she still had the necklace.
4 or 5 years,
like, the moment she came back, or he came back.
The season opens up. The episode opens up with her twirling it, and then it jumps straight into, like, a bachelorette rose ceremony.
That's so funny you said that, because we will be having our bachelorette episode right after this.
That's so funny.
Please feel free to join us now. This will be amazing.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, she's twirling and then straight into the bachelorette mode.
That's so funny. Like, I thought it was like a Tinder or Swing. She was swiping left on these guys.
She's not interested in getting married at all. That is not her thing. She's a dragon too. He did. He sure did. When Caraxes was
double
tipped
entendre.
The ship,
that dragon had a long neck, is all I'm saying, bro.
Exactly.
And then it just fell down.
It fell down.
And it descended onto the.
So it's a little floppy.
And ironically, Caraxes is like a worm.
He's
a blood worm.
Speaking of worms, let's talk about White Worm, because now I kind of have this theory that Otto, who found out that Rhaenyra and Daemon did this deed, finds out from this little kid, and we see this little kid in the same scene with Miseria, right?
Yes.
So Miseria is the White Worm, and she's the person who's feeding all of this information to him with her little birds, same as in Game of Thrones. Is that accurate? Is that what's happening?
Let me just put it this way. Miseria walked so the Varys can run.
Oh.
Varys.
Yeah, Varys.
From Game of Thrones can run. That's all.
You almost thought Littlefinger, but it's Varys.
It's Varys. No, Littlefinger is a different character on this show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a comparison. But yeah, Varys, and Missaria.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to tell you.
and Razi makes a good point. Today's episode is Haram Nerds, not Salam Nerds, because we are talking about a lot of crazy stuff.
A little bit of everything.
Yes. Acceptable, not acceptable. Is that right?
Yep. So I do like the fact that it's interesting to me that both Daemon and Rhaenyra lied about what happened, but in two completely different ways. I thought that was interesting.
Yes. For Rhaenyra, the lying part, especially to Allison and swearing on her mother, mother was very different.
Oh, she swore on her dead mother. Girl, can't be doing that.
Because she knows how much her virtue matters, and she wants the throne ultimately. So it's important for her to keep that illusion at the cost of the truth. So, and it sort of establishes something else later on as she grows up. But Daemon lying, to me, that just tells me that he does care in some respect for her.
Yeah, but I also think that Daemon knew that Viseria was the White Worm, and he wanted to get caught. He wanted to get caught the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, chaos.
That's the other theory. Although we think that Otto Hightower is the one who's pulling strings there with Lady Misery, we don't actually know that.
We don't know that. Mm.
Because if Daemon set the whole thing up?
It's possible.
Ooh, that is possible.
Just so he could marry Rhaenyra.
Daemon will do some things to get Rhaenyra.
Right. I would not be surprised if Daemon straight up said, hey, go get your spies right here at this brothel.
Little birds.
I'm going to do something, right? And then he does a thing, right? This way, no lord would marry her. Yeah. And then Daemon came in and said, wed her to me.
Yep.
Daemon could have set this whole thing up. We don't know.
He wants her. He will do some things to get her, for sure.
Yo, Daemon. Daemon is playing 4D chess over this, man.
Oh, yeah.
Daemon comes over with a big elaborate plan in his hand. Every brother of Cyrus just marry family together. Yeah.
But you know what? Daemon's plan is the best option in this entire situation.
Oddly enough, it really is.
I know it's gross, but you have to look at the politics and the maneuvering and what's going on with this family. Two of them getting married is the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
And if that actually took place, we would not have the TV show that we have. That's true.
Okay. But who does she get promised to? She's promised to the Valyrian child, right? What's his name?
Corlys is Valyrian. Corlys Valyrian has two children, Laena Valyrian and Laenor. And she is promised to him right now. And that's basically Viserys's move, her dad's move to get the houses back together, because Corlys is very spiteful that he's been sort of slated three times, basically. He's been put away three times, which is an insult, especially since Targaryens and Valyrians, they go back thousands of years ago. Their alliance is very strong. So,
but good on Rhaenyra there, because she's like, all right, I'll do it. Get rid of Otto.
Yo.
And the king does.
She gaslit her dad. Fire Otto is hilarious.
Gaslight, girl boss.
That's it. But you know what, though? Who said it? Was it Rhaenyra or Daemon? I can't remember. I have to rewatch the episode. Otto already has... Oh, no, it was Viserys who said it. He already has his claws into the throne so much. It doesn't matter if he's the hand or not. His daughter is a queen. She's popping heirs left and right. Little Aegon, little Helena. We met her. We're going to meet the third one soon. So
there's a fourth one.
I think they cut the fourth one, or they may introduce Daron Daring.
There are four total, I believe.
Four kids. Yeah,
baby-making machine, man.
He's popping them right out. Yep.
Man, that's interesting. Why is Viserys acting brand new though? Like he didn't marry his cousin. Like, bro,
exactly.
Is the dark specialty.
Exactly. Emma Arryn was his cousin, and also his parents were siblings.
Weird.
Really weird.
I don't know. It's probably because he just doesn't like Daemon. Daemon is chaos. But I feel like the two cancel each other out, man. They're good together.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, one is so incompetent, and one is so incredibly competent that they neutral out to one decent king.
That is so true. Oh my God.
We love it. We love to see it.
Matt Smith getting his flowers is just my favorite thing right now. Yeah. I love him.
Me too. I've said it in like 4 episodes. Not a single episode has gone by where I haven't praised Matt Smith just for being Matt Smith.
And it's so weird seeing Doctor Who that fucks. It's weird.
But you know what's weird? Matt Smith is like this skinny, langly. His face is not that hurt, but something about his swagger, man. Something about, even when he was Doctor Who, people loved him for this wholesomeness. And then here, people love him for not being wholesome. He can do both. It's so funny.
I think he emotes really well. Yeah, I mean, you can tell that with some characters. Like I always use Adam Driver. Like, he's not particularly good looking, like conventionally, whatever the hell that means. But he emotes with everything he's got on screen. And that just sort of, people get attracted to that kind of energy, especially when you emote with your face, with your body movement, with how you talk, your emotions. Same with Matt Smith. Sort of, he just, everything about every expression, every movement, everything is sort of that energy that puts out, people are obviously attracted to. So,
right. Speaking of attractive, what about his haircut? How about his haircut?
I like the long hair, but I don't mind the little curl at the front.
the little floppy Doctor Who look, right?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. You caught that, yes.
It was intentionally put there.
I think so, too. Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Some of those wigs are a little rough, but they never distract me to hate the show. So they could be better. Like, I've seen The Hobbit and the way those elves are done, it's possible. So HBO could have hired those guys to do the wigs of these characters. So
one thing that I want to talk about before we go is that I've seen a lot of this on TikTok, and I am not equipped to talk about it. Jazz is not equipped to talk about it.
Maybe I am.
No, probably not. A lot of people are saying that the scenes with Kristen Coles and even with Matt Smith were done through the female gaze. And it was like a lot of people
I'm not qualified to talk about this.
I told you, Jazz, I'll like sit this one out. But like, do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I don't understand that, but I kind of see it because girls are going crazy on Twitter and stuff. So but like, somebody's doing something right.
Okay, so when you look at the brothel scene, right? Okay, it was directed by Claire Kilner. I can't think off the top of my head all the work that she's done, but I see a female director and I'm like, I leech onto it immediately, especially in a really dark and violent fantasies that usually exploit women, you know what I mean? Sort of, that's sort of the theme of the show. So if you look at the brothel scene, for example, there's a lot going on, a lot of sounds, but they're all muffled. Once you get sort of zoomed in on Rhaenyra and Daemon, right? Where's the camera the whole time? It's on Rhaenyra's face. The whole time it's on her face. You're experiencing everything that she's feeling. And then usually I use hands as a way to demonstrate female gaze. If you see a lot of hands, especially in love scenes, touching, sort of neck touches and all that, that's all female gaze. Basically, Daemon becomes the object. She's the subject. That's female gaze. Is the woman being objectified or is she the subject of that scene? Who's in the frame? Who is the subject of that frame? It's always Rhaenyra. Look at the light. It follows her face completely. When they're kissing, all you see is half of his face and you see full face here. Against the wall, you see her face. She's looking up at him, her face. So that's the framing of that. Same with Kristen Cole. Slow undressing. It's very sensual. And no unnecessary nudity, no chest shot, nothing, no bot, nothing.
Yeah.
You don't see any of that, right?
There's no like euphoria scene, right?
Yeah. None of that. Like you get it's implied, obviously. That implication is always a big part. So female gaze puts you in a perspective of the woman being the subject and desiring something or someone. In this case, you're seeing Rhaenyra's desire for both Daemon and Kristen Cole, not the other way around. Does that make sense? That's how I look at female gaze. Is the woman a subject or an object?
That makes perfect sense to me, and I appreciate you sharing that with us because we're just two dudes who probably didn't understand what that was, and now we do. So thank you for that.
Have you seen Pride and Prejudice?
Okay, no, but I really need to. You have to.
And you know what? Like that film, it's famous for its female gaze, but it's directed by a man, right? So you don't have to be a woman to frame female gaze. You just have to understand what it is. And all it does is just a camera movement is everything here. So there's a scene, I don't want to spoil it, but it zooms in on a hand of a man experiencing something, and then the camera zooms back on Elizabeth, and she's sort of reacting to that too. So that hands, exactly. Every woman will tell you hands, everything, wow. Hand flex.
Well,
hands are everything.
Well,
and there's a shot. I'm sorry, I keep
talking. Go ahead.
Like in the brothel scene, again, keep going back to that. There's a scene where Rhaenyra puts her hand on the back of Matt Smith's neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's a female gaze shot right there.
Awesome. Yeah, so. I totally get that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we are running out of time, so I want to make sure that we have time for the next episode.
Yes.
But speaking of hands, we got to hand it to you.
This is Thank you. I apologize for going on a tangent.
this is great.
Don't apologize at all. I always give ourselves a little bit of wiggle room before the next episode.
I understand.
And not because you're going to go over, but because brown people time, we assume we're going to be late. So don't worry.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. Like, we'll have the whole setup here, and then quite literally, we will start, like, 15 minutes late because of something really stupid that's our own fault.
So we like
to factor the time in.
But before we end, I do want to talk about a new segment that I want to start doing on the show, our favorite quote of the episode. And my favorite quote is probably the most mundane quote in the entire show, but the way it's delivered, where Matt Smith goes up to them and goes, hands them the hammer and goes, add it to the chair. Like,
That is the best line.
That's my favorite line, and that's my favorite quote from this episode.
I won Rhaenyra. That was my favorite line there. And it was intense. Yeah.
Jeff, do you have a favorite line from this episode?
Oh my God! It had to be when Viserys was going at. Damon there. Yeah.
Oh, Damon. No. Okay.
Damon, right. Yeah. When he had the knife to his throat and was like ready to like, that scene just like is ingrained in my mind right now. I'm like, yes, Viserys, this whole time you've been a shit king.
Yes.
And for the first time in this whole show, you grew some balls and did
initiative once.
Yeah.
For the first time.
It was wild.
It's the first time we see that they have not also fallen off.
Oh my God. No, that's funny.
Man. Well, listen, we have to go. Thank you so much for joining us. This was such a great episode.
Thank you so much.
It was heartwarming. It was raunchy and it was informative. So we expect nothing less from JJ.
No, this is great. Well, it's probably one of my favorite episodes of all time.
Oh my God, you guys are too kind. Yeah, this is a pretty dark, twisted fantasy world that is very hard to be PG about it. So tread lightly, manage your triggers with it. You know what you're comfortable with. You know what you're not. I always say that everybody's an adult. You can make your own decision. What makes you comfortable and what makes you not.
So. No, we love that. And thank you, everybody, in the comments. The comments were lit.
Yeah, Karina, Nav, Ruzzy, Pat.
Look at you guys are awesome.
Everyone, like, y'all are great. Thank you.
And if you're listening on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, come on YouTube and we come on and interact with us. We're a lot of fun. And look at our faces. We're pretty. Well, JJ is. The rest of us, maybe.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, until next time, guys. Oh, JJ, you want to tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on TikTok under Cat Lady JJ. I talk about Star Wars, Marvel, A Song of Ice and Fire. I am known as a chart lady. You can find me on Twitter too. I tweet a lot lately. It's been a lot of fun. It's almost like a giant group chat with all of my TikTok mutuals. It's awesome. So yeah, if you want I do a lot of good lore talk on there too. So Cat Lady JJ on Twitter, and I do Sunday night recaps of the episode with Mesa Windu.
Awesome.
So yes, cool. That whole segment is a whole lot of fun. We had like one time 600 people join in. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was great. So we do that every Sunday. It's fantastic. So that's the only thing I got to promote, that segment that on Sundays after the show. So
perfect. Awesome.
On Twitter.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And guys, until next time, it's Haram Nerd. I mean, Salam Nerd.
You did that intentionally, but that was great.
That was fantastic.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Peace.
Bye.